Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
As you know, we are continuing through a series. We're doing a series called Matthew's Jesus. This is Matthew's, looking at Matthew's biography of Christ, and how he's done that and how he's worked for that. We're not looking at every word, but can I encourage you to go and read every word of Matthew's gospel? We are highlighting different aspects of that, and this really is the second of a two-parter, looking at the miracles of Jesus, some of the supernatural stuff that he's got into. But Matthew's a great writer. Matthew's collated and arranged the stories and the teachings of Jesus in a way that focuses on different themes to show us how Jesus fulfills the biblical story, and for them, the Old Testament story. He highlights the prophetic promises that come out in the Old Testament relating to the Messiah. You know, Jesus is a king in the line of David. He's a new teacher like Moses. And his hearers would have understood this. He is God with us, Emmanuel. As we're approaching Christmas, it's not far off Christmas, you know that. God with us. God has come to his world. You know, Matthew presents us with Jesus teaching about the kingdom, and we looked at that a while ago. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, teaching with authority. And then we read a series of stories after that, and this is where we are now in chapter 8, showing Jesus bringing the kingdom of God into reality in the day-to-day lives of ordinary people. So he's taught about it and then he's doing it, and we're seeing the impact of the kingdom come in the lives of ordinary people. And that's often people who are hurting, people who are broken in some way or other. And we look at a couple of those people in just a moment, actually, in later on in Matthew chapter 8. You know, I just want to highlight, before we get to chapter 8, some words that Jesus spoke towards the end of Matthew's gospel. In fact, in the last chapter, his parting words before he was taken up to heaven and hidden from view in a cloud. And he spoke his final speech to his followers in Matthew 28, verse 18. He says this, and this is very pertinent to where we're going today. Listen carefully. Jesus came to them, to the disciples, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." It should even come up on a slide, I think. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus just tells them, and he reminds them, look, I've got all authority. And then he delegates that authority to his followers, to his hearers. And I would say to us, all authority is given to me, Jesus says, therefore you go. Go with that authority. Go with that delegated authority. Go as my ambassadors. I commission you to go with my authority. Think, wow, that's a big responsibility, isn't it? It's a challenge to us that we can go in. When you go to the shops, you go with the authority of Christ. When you go to work, when you go to school or college, when you walk down the street, you go with the authority of Christ. Oh, that puts a different slant on life, don't it? That makes things a little bit more exciting. You know, as I was thinking about that, you know, that just that the authority that's vested in me as a believer and in each of us, It just got me thinking, you know, there's a biblical value of perseverance, isn't there? You know the passage in Romans 5, it tells us, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and so on. It's part of it. But as I reflected on that, I was thinking, we can live quite passive Christian lives and call it perseverance, because we're being consistent and we're just going... But actually, it's passivity. And it just made me think of my own life. So often, you know, we choose the easy route and it can be a passive one. So listen, because this could change our lives, you know, right? Because, and then I mean, for me, it was, you know, when Denise was unwell, it challenged that passivity of just sitting back. Yeah, I'm a Christian, chosen before time, picked out, loved by God, given the Holy Spirit. This is nice, but that can still be passive. And when Denise was ill, it suddenly stirred me to a bit of perseverance, both of us, to pray and to trust him. And when things were tough, to know him in it. And it turned, for me, passivity into real perseverance. What I thought was probably perseverance was actually passivity. I don't want the church to be passive, do you? No, we've got to be persevering. We've got to keep going. We've got to press forward and move on. And if we remind ourselves of the God-given authority that we have, I don't think we'll be passive. We may well have to persevere through some tough times, because that's life, isn't it? Life is up and down. Sometimes it's really tough. And for some people, it spends most of the time being tough. We can pray. We're going to pray at the end of this sermon because we can seek the Holy Spirit to intervene. You know, last week, Rebecca spoke about some of those hurting, broken people. Right? Do you remember she talked about the man with leprosy? An outcast in society. Jesus went up to him. Jesus laid his hands on him. Jesus touched him. No one would have touched him because he was a leper, living outside the city. And Jesus demonstrated his love by touching him, but not only touching him, healing him, making him clean. That's the miracle work in Jesus we're talking about right there. Personal, up close love and power. And then Rebecca talked about the soldier's servant, do you remember? Who was in terrible pain, laying in his bed. And Jesus healed him from a distance, didn't he? Because the centurion's great faith said, look, listen, I understand authority. I'm a soldier. I tell people to do this and they do it. I tell people to go there, they go there. Jesus, you give the word, mate, my servant will be healed. And then, sure enough, Jesus spoke healing, acknowledged the man's great faith, and that servant was healed. And then after that, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. I'm not going to make any jokes about that at all because this is serious, right? He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then following that healing, when evening came, we read these words in Matthew 8:16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Oh, wow. Jesus has come to town and suddenly things are changing. There's no passivity in that, is there? Right? Authority over sickness. Jesus spoke on that Sermon on the Mount as one who had authority. People acknowledged that. Now we see his authority over sickness. You know what? I love those indicators of Jesus' supreme authority. And we're going to see some more in just a moment. And I love how Matthew highlights that so often the people who respond to him, they're not the most important people in society. Some people would call them nobodies. Anonymous. The outcasts on occasion, like the guy with leprosy. Those people are transformed. Turned their lives around as they put their trust in Jesus and their faith in Jesus. Those are the people who we see following him by and large. So Jesus exercises authority over sickness and disease. Then he spoke the word with authority. And then when we get to this passage in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, it says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. So they've gone out in the boat, and it says, verse 24, suddenly a furious storm comes up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. You just imagine it, can't you? He's in the back of the boat. The boat's being tossed around. The waves are coming over the top of it. So the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he's woke up from his slumber. And in verse 26, he says, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus' authority can lead to faith. Just as a little aside on that demonstration of his authority, even over the natural world, even over the created order, have you ever felt an internal storm? You know, when your feelings and your emotions are raging, or when they've been attacked, maybe you have felt that depression, or it's overwhelming you, whatever it might be, when your life is out of control, when it's scary and you don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? Jesus can calm that storm as well. Jesus can calm that storm that's internal, not just in the natural world, because he has authority. You know, I had a little note in my notes here to maybe we should pray, but I know we've already prayed and Chris has prayed earlier. We are going to pray at the end of this sermon. So the Jesus who taught the people with authority in chapters 5, 6 and 7 has demonstrated that he also has authority over sickness and disease, whether it's close at hand, intimately, or at a distance, with great authority. Then we see that authority doesn't even end there. He has authority over the weather, over the natural order of things. Elsewhere, he spoke to a fig tree, didn't he? He spoke to a fig tree and told it to wither and die, and it did. That's authority. And then we get to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, reading to verse 34. So he's calmed the storm, they're on the boat, and they're getting to the other side of the lake. And he says, when Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gadarenes, thank you. I practiced that, and I still... When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. The parallel passage in Mark's gospel gives a bit more explanation. In fact, Mark and Luke do the same story, but they're interesting, they only talk about one person. I couldn't find an adequate explanation for that. Who knows? But the parallel passage in Mark says that night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Now, we can have a different view of people like this. People were scared of them. People wouldn't walk past where they was. They were troubled by them. When Denise reads this story, she cries. Honestly, she cries. You know why? Because she says, they were somebody's sons once. They were somebody's little boy. And ask the question, what happened to them? What happened to them to make them like that? Scary, cutting themselves, raging, just violent. What caused that? And it gives a different slant when we see and hear people we encounter, doesn't it? I'm not saying it's going to be easier, because some people can be really scary, but to have some understanding helps. Also understanding about the authority of Christ when we meet people. So verse 29, it says, they began screaming at Jesus, screaming at him, why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time? I think it was God's appointed time. They didn't get that bit. Verse 30, there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. So the demons begged, if you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs. All right, go. Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Now, just imagine it, right? You've got a herd of pigs over there just minding their own business, having their dinner, munching on whatever the pigs eat. They eat anything, don't they, really? And then suddenly you can imagine the noise and possibly the smell of the whole herd of pigs, I don't know how many there was, trundling down the hillside, the dust and the smell and the dirt, and then plunging into the sea, right, and drowning. Right, it's understandable. Verse 33 says, the herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. Now, again, there's a bit more detail in Mark's in the parallel passage in Mark. It talks about the townspeople when they come out. It says, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, an army of demons. They saw him sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, a victory. But it says they were afraid. They were afraid. Now, they wanted Jesus to go away, didn't we? But what we've seen here is more authority of Christ. He spoke with authority. Right? He had authority over sickness and disease. He had authority over the natural world. He spoke to the storm, and now he's speaking to the demonic world, to the spiritual, dark spiritual forces, and he has authority over them. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, therefore go. City Hope. That's the authority that we have vested in us. We need to constantly remind ourselves of Jesus's position of supreme authority, because sometimes in certain situations it doesn't even feel like he's with us, and we have to hold on to faith and truth of the word of God, where he says, I will never leave you. I'll never leave you. In your darkest moment, I'm there. You know? People may leave us, he doesn't. You know, when he calmed the storm, the people said, even the winds and waves, who is this man? Even the winds and waves obey him. They didn't know, did they? They couldn't get it. I mean, you think they've been with him long enough, you think must have got an idea who he was, but it seems, who is this man? They're going to find out. Because the demons are going to tell them. Jesus has the authority. Jesus has the authority. He's not just a fella who's got some good ideas about good living. I'll go, you know, just go and do this and that. Don't get drunk. You know, don't take drugs. Be monogamous in your relationships. And you'll have a nice life. You'll probably get a good job and a big house. Right? Of course he doesn't say that, does he? But he does say, go with my authority. And who knows what that's going to mean? Who knows where that's going to take us? Who knows what dangers we may face alongside him? Who knows what miracles we will see? Who knows what power we may impart? You know? Persevere, don't be passive. All authority. And he's the one we can trust with every aspect of our lives. Oh, Jesus. We're going to pray in a moment about him giving us that authority afresh. And well, he gives it, but we've got to understand that he's given it. The day you became a follower of Jesus was the day you had the same authority to speak for him. The day you become a Christian, the day you surrendered your life to Christ, was the day he said, you have the authority. You have authority over demons, dark spiritual forces. You have authority over cancer. You have authority over sickness. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? All authority is given to me, therefore you go in that authority. I'm not an expert on the work of demons in any way. But over the years, I have encountered demonic forces at work in people and places. And it's not nice. It's dark. It's horrible. It's nasty. But Jesus comes and brings light and life. And I've seen that a few times. In my ignorant fumbling of prayer and deliverance and stuff for people, by God's grace, I've seen people come free. And there's people in this room who have known freedom from some sort of spiritual oppression, haven't you? You've walked free from it and continue to because of Jesus' authority. So those back to those fishermen, his mates in the boat, and they said, "Who is this man? Even the wind and wave obey him." In just a moment, when they get ashore, they're going to hear. Who's going to tell them? The demons are going to tell them, if they didn't know already. They shouted out, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God?" They knew who it was. That's why they were scared. That's why they were petrified. "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God?" And Son of God is a phrase that's used in Matthew's gospel on a number of occasions as a title for Jesus. The Messiah, it means. The Anointed One. Son of God. The disciples themselves use it. Peter also uses it. The chief priest uses it. And famously, the centurion at the foot of the cross, the Roman officer there, he says, the Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. And they said, "This man truly was the Son of God." The demons said it. The Roman soldier said it. The disciple, they all said it. The Messiah. The people who believed in a coming Messiah were expecting him to come and judge the world and put all injustices and wrongs right. And I reckon that's what those dark demons were very aware of. Right? They suddenly knew they was in trouble. Oh, the Son of God's come. Now we're for it. Because here's one who has authority. And if the Messiah has come, then the days of demons are numbered. Because Jesus' mission was to defeat the work and forces of evil. And guess what? We're on the same mission with him. "All authority is given to me," he said. "Therefore, City Hope, go. In my name, with my authority, in my power." And you know, and what happened to those demons when they went into the pigs, and then the pigs went running down the steep hillside and plunged into the lake and drowned, is you can see that as a bit of a sign. It's a sign of what Jesus will do with evil of every kind when he goes to the cross and is gloriously resurrected from the dead. He's going to destroy it completely and totally. Their days are numbered. That's the Bible, isn't it? I'm not just trying to GS up. I think I've woke myself up before this moment because I want to deal with any passivity in my life, and I want to persevere in the power of Jesus, understanding the authority is delegated to me. I don't want to be passive in any way. Through his victory over sin and death, light triumphs over darkness. We're people of the light, aren't we? Let your light shine before men and women and children and pigs, if you like. Let your light shine. I thought it was interesting as well with these people over in the other side of the lake. What are they called? Where is it? The Gadarenes, thank you. That, you know, where almost everywhere Jesus went, people wanted him to stay. "Oh, don't go, Jesus. Do some more healings. We want to hear you speak," because of that authority. You know, in Luke 4, there's the crowd. He'd gone off to pray, Jesus, and the crowd searched for him everywhere. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave. And he replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that's why I was sent. But in that place of the Gadarenes, that's not what happened. After those poor men were set free, clothed and in their right mind, the locals begged Jesus to leave. What's that about? Right? Was it because he sent all their pigs into the lake? I mean, that would have been their possessions, their livelihood, I suppose. They might have thought Jesus would destroy more of their property. Blimey, he's done the pigs. He might do me house next. Who knows? I mean, who is this Jewish Messiah come to a, you know, they were non-Jewish, Gentiles. Maybe there was a fear there. I don't know. What I do know is that wherever Jesus went, people were in awe of him. Because the Messiah had come, whether they knew that was his title or not. The authority was demonstrated. And the demons were scared. Now, I think it's safe to say that Jesus is a force to be reckoned with. And we've tasted little bits of that power and authority, haven't we? But I believe there is so much more. We were born for such a time as this. And these are dark times around the world in lots of ways and around the nation in lots of ways. And so, somebody once said recently, we're going to live in the best of times and the worst of times together. And I believe we're going to see more and more of his power, more and more of his authority, even as the stuff that we used to put our foundations in life are ripped from under us. Now, whether it's stability in the world, whether it's government, whether it's the health service, whether it's how much money you've got in your bank or haven't, let's put our trust more and more in Jesus, who is Lord. Let's put our trust more and more in Jesus, who speaks health and wholeness because he has the authority. Complete authority. And so do we. This is the challenge, isn't it? Oh yeah, Jesus, that's great. Jesus has got the authority. Therefore, go. Are you up for that? This is active, not passive. Not even passive perseverance, if there is such a thing. This is active. Are you ready to be his ambassadors? Going. Full of faith. Faith which comes with that delegated authority. I think the authority should build faith, shouldn't it? Well, oh no, I can do this because Jesus said I could. And Jesus commissioned me to do this. And that delegated authority comes from that glorious gift of righteousness, which is ours as we surrender our lives to him. So whose side are you on? That's a serious question. Whose side are you on? Jesus. Are you with him? You're not against him, are you? No, we're with him. You know, in this room, even in this room today, there's many who follow him. There may be some. Even right now, you may be scared stiff of him and what that means to be a follower of Jesus. But whether you're a follower or whether you're scared and you want to run out, you can't ignore him. To one, he is the smell of death. And to others, the gift of life, isn't he? The Jesus we must follow today is the same Jesus who said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age.